welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 47 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Jimmy, and tonight I have with me Sam.
How you doing, Jimmy?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Great.
And we also have Jennifer.
Hey, guys. Excited to talk with you guys tonight. I love our topic.
Very, very excited about tonight. Unfortunately, Ed could not be with us tonight.
Ed's with us.
He's with us in spirit. We miss him, and hopefully he'll be back next week. Before we get started, we have some big, big news, big announcement.
Big.
I don't know. Huge. I think we had mentioned it on a few previous shows. All of us, me, Sam, Jennifer, and Ed, we're all going to be in Walt Disney World October 3rd and October 4th, which is a Friday and Saturday.
So, hey, that's Food and Wine Festival, isn't it?
That is Food and Wine Festival.
I'm not sure that's a coincidence, Sam.
How about that?
You know what? It is pretty coincidental that the Disney Nerds Podcast meets up in Walt Disney World right there.
Or actually, I thought, Jimmy, you were running. Maybe Ed is training right now for the Tower of Terror of 10 Maui.
He could be.
Maybe that's it. We'll have to ask him later. But that's also going on, but I'll be at Epcot.
So we wanted to announce that we are doing, and we had already put it out on the Facebook page. Not all of our listeners are fans on the Facebook page. So if you're not, definitely go to the Facebook page. It's www.facebook.com/thedisneynerds, and like us on Facebook, and also follow us on Twitter, @thedisneynerds. We are announcing that we are having a Disney Nerds Podcast meet and scavenger hunt.
Woohoo!
How big is that?
Awesome.
That's big.
So, I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer, and she's going to go over some of the details, and we'll talk about that. Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I was glad I could get a trip in. I would not want to miss this, so hopefully a lot of our listeners can join in. This is going to be taking place, scavenger hunt itself, the bulk of our meet, is going to be taking place on Saturday, October 4th. We are going to meet at 10:30 in the morning at Epcot. It's going to be mostly based around Food and Wine Festival, so we're going to be doing a lot in World Showcase, but we're going to start at the north side of the Fountain of Nations. So that's the big fountain right in the middle of Future World in Epcot, for those of you that might not remember or know that name. It is the one that does the nice little dances and lights up at night. But we're going to be on the north side, which is by the Cranberry Bog, sponsored by Ocean Spray, as we've talked about in a different show. At about 11 o'clock, we're going to head out on a awesome scavenger hunt. Ed is putting together some questions. We're all kind of working through some things. There's going to be some photo scavenger hunts, some Disney trivia, some hidden Mickeys. There's going to be questions of varying difficulties. So no matter how many times you've been or what level of Disney nerd you might consider yourself, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody. There are going to be teams of six or fewer, and there are going to be prizes and goodies for everyone who attends. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
11 o'clock is the right time, right when World Showcase is starting to open.
Oh, yeah,
it's not that busy yet. Sure. It's Food and Wine Festival. You can stop at that craft beers if you want to start things off, or just head around World Showcase. It's going to be a great time.
Absolutely.
Last week when we were recording, Ed gave us some kind of ideas of what he was thinking in some of the countries. They're not going to be easy. He's really putting some thought into this, and he's got me worried.
Oh, but one thing we talked about, and I think this is really cool. I've participated in some other events, and you know, sometimes they either encourage or discourage talking to other people, talking to cast members. Some of the clues might benefit from interaction with a cast member or might even require it. So I think that's really cool, kind of getting to know some of the people that work in the pavilions, which, as most of us know, are from the various countries they represent. So I think that's a really kind of an extra fun aspect of it.
Yeah.
You might learn a little something on the way, too.
Well, I would say you would definitely learn something, for sure.
So if we're going to do the scavenger hunt, which is great, meet at 10:30, Fountain of Nations, right in front of the Cranberry Blog on October the 4th. You know, we're going to be there the night before, so shouldn't we do something on the 3rd?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking we do maybe a mini meet Friday night. What do you guys think about maybe meeting and just watching Illuminations together? Just a big group of Disney nerds watching Illuminations.
Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. I think it's a great idea.
Especially during the Food and Wine Festival. So you can grab some desserts and champagne from the country of dessert and champagne if you listen to our former show on the preview of the Food and Wine Festival.
The country of cheese.
Yes, something from the country of cheese, or perhaps something from an actual country that's represented at the festival. So you grab a snack, get together with the rest of the Disney nerds, and take in Illuminations. I love it.
I do want to say that we're in the process of getting us some Disney Nerds podcast shirts, so that'll help you find us.
That's right. You run into them every now and then, Disney Nerds at the park.
Every now and then. And I think Sam will be wearing his Goofy hat.
Yeah, or Pluto.
The beer goggles? Okay.
Right. And the beer goggles and the beer hat. That's right.
Oh, yes. If you wear that, that'll make my day.
So, where's the best place to watch Illuminations?
Everybody has their own opinion on that. Jennifer, what's your favorite place to watch it?
Well, gosh, I guess I have two, because there's one that has always kind of been one of our favorites, if you're headed out of the park, maybe out of the United Kingdom Pavilion, if you're looking at the Rose and Crown toward the left as you head toward Canada. But now that there is FastPass Plus viewing, which we've done once, and every now and then for special events like Chase Disney card holders or other things like that, there is the special viewing area that's between the two shops just as you enter the World Showcase, and that is spectacular. You're right on top of the lagoon. We actually got to watch the 30th anniversary Illuminations from there on the Epcot 30th birthday celebration, and it was so loud. It was one of those times that you felt like your heart was kind of stopping and you were so close you could feel the heat. It was amazing. So even on just a regular Illuminations night, that's got to be my new favorite spot.
Sam, what about you?
Let's step back a second. Assuming that you're not participating in a FastPass Plus or an event of some sort where there are lots of absolutely wonderful places around World Showcase, whether it's the area near France, sort of down in the water by the bridge, or near Italy over the bridge, but those tend to be private events and they're blocked off. Those are by far the best places. Otherwise, a place that I like, if you're not straight in front of World Showcase, although they make the announcement, there's plenty of great viewing places all the way around World Showcase. Understand that some of those, there's trees in the way or small islands and you can't quite see everything. I like the bridge that leads into Mexico. I think on that bridge is a great spot where you get a nice clear view of everything and a great shot of the globe as it moves to the center of the lagoon.
I think that is a fantastic idea. For one thing, because it's a bridge and there's water there, obviously, that passes underneath it, kind of a clear area. And I think it'll give us room to do maybe a small meet there. So let's do that. What are you guys thinking? It looks like Illuminations on that Friday night, that's October the 3rd, it looks like it starts at 10 o'clock.
Which is typical of weekends during the Food and Wine Festival at 10 o'clock Illuminations. So at 9:30, grab a margarita, grab a tequila flight, and hang out near the bridge there. We'll come up with some details as to what exactly we'll do and make sure everybody's aware.
That sounds really good. You know, in talking about this, it kind of makes me think about Illuminations a little bit. And, you know, it's kind of, believe it or not, as much as a Disney nerd that I am, I did not know the story of Illuminations until Sam told me. The last time me and you were there together, I think we were at the Rose and Crown, and you were telling me the story of Illuminations. And I
think we both had a Carl's Combo in our hand then.
Carl's Combo. If anybody listening enjoys a nice beer, stop by the Rose and Crown pub and ask for a Carl's Combo. It is fantastic. If you're wondering what it is, it's a Bass Ale and Stella Artois mixed.
It's good. I'll agree. Grab one, head over to meet us, and you know what? Let's talk about Illuminations for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely, because I'm with Jimmy. I watched this show, I don't know, for years, I would say, and I would hear people, especially, you know, Disney fans, Disney nerds that knew a lot about the parks, just rave how much they loved Illuminations and how amazing it was. And we'd stay and we'd watch, and I love the nighttime shows, and so we would watch it every trip, and I would watch and think, okay, some fire, and then something spinning on the globe that I can't quite make out, and then fireworks, but they're not the best fireworks that Disney does. And I loved the soundtrack, but beyond that, and of course, our favorite beginning, which I think Sam will talk to us about, I just couldn't understand why it was people's favorite. I couldn't understand how it ranked above Wishes or above Fantasmic or anything until I heard that there was a story to it, and that definitely changed it for me. So I'm excited to hear it again, and I think we have some clips even to play with it, and now it is absolutely one of my favorites, so I can listen to it and talk about it all the time. So let's go. Let's do it.
I couldn't agree more. And it absolutely pains me to see people leave halfway through when they think it's over, because they can't quite see the globe coming out, and they leave and they see the ending fireworks as they're exiting the park, and that kills me. But believe it or not, so let's talk the history for a second. Illuminations 2000, Reflections of Earth. So the show as we know it today premiered on October 1st, 1999. So October 1st being an interesting date, because that's the date that Epcot opened. So it just so happened that Illuminations premiered on the 17th birthday of Epcot. Nobody really talks about that, because it wasn't a big deal back then. Not like the 30s are that we celebrate today. So it was premiered along with one of Jimmy's lost attractions from last week, which is the Tapestry of Nations Parade, right?
Yeah.
So those two things premiered at the same time as part of the 2000 celebration.
We were there in February 2000 for our honeymoon, me and my wife, and the Tapestry of Nations Parade was really cool, and Illuminations obviously was fantastic.
Illuminations proved to be a very popular nighttime attraction. It was extended, but they dropped the 2000 from the name, so now it's Illuminations Reflections of Earth. The show continued, and it's pretty much been the same show ever since, and that's 15 years later. So I don't know if that means this is due for an update, or if that just shows how great the show's been, but
that's really
it's been around
impressive.
For a while.
That's a long time to have minimal changes and still be very popular. It doesn't seem dated. It doesn't seem, you know, it's got rewatchability. And I think, as far as I know, all they've done to it is maybe update some technology and make it a little better without changing it. So that's really impressive. I don't think I realized it had, I mean, I knew that it started in 2000, I guess, like everything else. I can't believe it's been 15 years. So.
Exactly.
So, you know, one of the other things that I hear, I hadn't had the chance to see it, but one of the other things I've heard a lot of people talk about is the tag they add to it during the holiday season.
Yes.
You've guys seen that?
Yes.
I have.
Tell me about that.
There's multiple tags. So let's talk about what a tag is. Illuminations, the way you know it, which we'll talk about. Once that's finished, they add a tag or an ending for a holiday. They've had the holiday ending for quite some time. There's a 4th of July tag. There's a New Year's Eve countdown tag, which I would love to see, but I've never seen that.
That
and there were
cool.
Also one-time tags for Epcot's 25th and the 30th. So have you seen any of those, Jen?
I did. We were there for the 30th. It was, as I mentioned, that's kind of the first time that we saw that special seating area. And so we were right up close. And the tag for that, I mentioned that the fireworks aren't the most spectacular fireworks show that Disney does or that I've ever seen in a typical Illuminations. While they contribute to the story, that's about it. But man, at the 30th anniversary, so it was just a few minute long, like tag just at the end of it. And the number of fireworks, it lit up the sky more than anything I've ever seen. And I live in Cincinnati, and I don't know, a couple of you are familiar, and we might have some listeners. We have a very, very big fireworks show that happens around Labor Day weekend that actually competes with Disney shows. Not for the magic, I'll never say that, but as far as the scale, it's impressive. And this tag blew it away. We felt like, have you guys ever been at a fireworks show and it gets so loud or you're so close that you kind of feel like your heart stops?
You could feel it.
Yes.
I was at the same one, and I could feel it.
Oh, my gosh, you could feel it. And the sky was blinding. It was so bright. And I'm not exaggerating. It was, you were there, then you know. It was, it honestly looked like the whole place exploded, but it was amazing. It was so cool. And it capped off a day that started with streamers shooting out of the turnstiles. So it was just really, really special to be there. But, and the holiday one, yes, Jimmy, the holiday one's really cool too. It just,
the holiday one, I still love that it's narrated by Walter Cronkite, and they've kept that narration. It's great.
Yeah. And it's got the, Let There Be Peace on Earth song. And it's just, it's really beautiful tag. So I do like that one as well.
Up on YouTube. Sam, is that in the Sam's Disney Diary YouTube?
It is not. I have the Epcot 30th tag, but I don't have the holiday. But I'm going to dig. So if I can find the audio, we're going to hear it right now.
Okay, that'd be fantastic.
Jimmy, I found it. This is the holiday tag from a trip that I took in 2010. Now remember, the coolest part of the holiday tag is you can watch this right after you did the Candlelight Processional and after you did Holidays Around the World. So it ends like any other Illuminations, then it launches into a tag at the end. Here it is.
And now, at this special time, as we embrace the promise of a new year, we would like to share one final message.
Menschen ein Wohlgefallen.
Assalamu alaikum, liebe Insan.
Fred på jorda blant alle mennesker.
Se kan i heia, så vidt han i skukko. Ben så lett det.
Se til kjøpe, vei jeg løy tafu.
Pace in terra, agli uomini di buona volontà.
During this glorious time of year, there is one message that rings out around the world in every language. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, is a wish to hold in our hearts throughout each passing year, a gift of immeasurable value, a treasure to be handed down with care from generation to generation. And so our holiday wish is that everyone, everywhere, share in the spirit of the season. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Thank you.
It's only 4 minutes long, but absolutely gives me goosebumps listening to it. I'm ready to plan my trip. Wow. So, here's an interesting thing that you know it when I say it, but Illuminations actually starts 30 minutes before showtime.
Yes, I was hoping you would talk about this.
That's when all of the torches are lit. You kind of don't notice it if you're not looking for it, but they light up around, and there's a music loop that starts to play.
Love
that is just in the background, and if I play some of it right now behind us, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it just brings out and sets the mood, and it's absolutely perfect background music.
I think it's cool too. It goes kind of through. I don't think it's, you know, specific to each pavilion, but it definitely has, you know, transitions to just different varieties of world music, but it flows seamlessly. Like, I just think it's a really fascinating music loop.
It is.
The music is incredible. The whole Illuminations music is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what does it for me.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a part of it. And then as you lead into Illuminations itself, and a lot of that starts with the announcement that, you know, you'll find a spot all around World Showcase Lagoon for Illuminations in just 30 minutes, and then they'll do 15 minutes, and they'll do 5, and in just a few. And then, of course, the great narration. Do you guys know who does the narration at the beginning?
I know.
Jim Cummings.
Yep. So Jim Cummings, who else is Jim Cummings? Which is a great
That's a good trivia question. Do you want me to answer one?
Yeah, why not?
The only one I know is Tigger.
He is absolutely Tigger, and he's Winnie the Pooh as well.
Oh, the current Winnie the Pooh.
I only knew. He's also done Darkwing Duck.
Oh, perfect.
Oh,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
What?
Honest to goodness, it's the same voice. So you know him as Good Evening on behalf of the Walt Disney. Well, let's listen to it.
Good evening and welcome. We've gathered here tonight around the fire as people of all lands have gathered for thousands and thousands of years before us to share the light and to share a story. An amazing story as old as time itself, but still being written. And though each of us has our own individual stories to tell, a true adventure emerges when we bring them all together as one. I hope you enjoy our story tonight, Reflections of Earth.
Everybody knows the audio, and what's the best part of that audio?
The end.
The end, absolutely, when there's the sound of all of the torches being extinguished with somebody blowing them out.
Oh,
and not only the torches going out, but the lighting around World Showcase Lagoon and Spaceship Earth all goes down at exactly the same time.
It's
and
almost that's like somebody blew out the match.
Yes. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. It's so ingrained in my head as
so
part of this story.
It is. And then you get the beat of the drum behind you, right? Boom. 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 And that's really the start of the story. So before we start the story, let's step back a second. This is actually a three-part play that we're about to watch. And if you step back and think about it, you'll recognize the three parts. Now, something very interesting, I did some research on Disney's website, and if you go to Disney.com and go under Illuminations Reflections of Earth, they have their version of the three steps, or the three acts, which are a little bit different than the historic meaning behind this, but they're sort of the same. So that first act, as the drum's beating and pounding, and it gets faster and faster and faster and faster, and then it ends with the one rocket that shoots across, and boom. That represents the Big Bang, right? That's the beginning of creation of the planet. Boom. And it starts chaos. Chaos is the creation of the planet from a cosmic event with eruptions and fireballs and explosions and things happening all over the place.
It's definitely, the beginning of it is definitely chaotic. I think that would be a good term to use for it, because you're right, it's kind of all over, and it's loud, and it's there's just a lot of things going on.
It is, and it's probably, I mean, it's captivating, especially you go from that introduction, which is nothing, and then it gets dark, and then it's just fire and chaos. Are sucked in right away, which is why when Sam mentioned, you get to kind of what appears to be a lull as the story continues, that the contrast is just amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
So Disney's website calls that first part The Earth Is Born. Earth's fiery birth begins with flames and fireworks erupting from the lagoon beneath a swarm of heavenly explosions. Red and golden lights blaze on the shimmering waters, and the volcanic effects subside. A glowing globe glides peacefully across the water. That's how they transition the two. But I think before we get there, there's a couple of interesting things that happened. And earlier in the day, if you're in Epcot, everyone may know that they tow the barges out into the middle of World Showcase Lagoon.
We were talking about that the last time in April for Easter, the week of Easter when we were there, we got stuck.
Did you get stopped? Yeah.
We got stuck right there by the outpost.
Uh-huh.
Yep, the drawbridge.
Yeah, so the drawbridge came up, and we kind of, I'm not saying it was a bad thing. I mean, there's a beer place right there, so we actually got a nice little table right there on the corner and just kind of waited. But it's kind of really cool to watch that drawbridge open up and watch the earth pass through it.
The first time we got stopped there, I didn't even know that it opened. And my daughters were very little, and they were terrified of those drums over by the outpost, just when people are banging on them. I mean, they're not scary. Oh, yeah. But they can be loud, and so they're just at that age, and so they just screamed the entire whatever it takes 15 minutes for it to go through. It might not even be that long. It might be 2 minutes. But
it's not that long, gonna think.
We were not sitting enjoying a beer. We were like wondering why we couldn't go anywhere and how long it was going to take and if we should walk around the other way. But once we figured out what was going on, it kind of felt like we got a little glimpsed into backstage, even though it's very much right there for all to see.
Well, when you're walking over that bridge any other time, you would not think that it opens.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you know, it seems like a permanent structure. You wouldn't think.
Yep.
You wouldn't think.
Well, and honestly, there's so much to look at around you, obviously, that you don't really pay much attention. But if you're walking over it and you know that it opens, and you look, say, to your left, if you're going into World Showcase from Future World toward the American Adventure, you look to your left and you, during the day, you can see all that stuff stored over there. But I don't think I ever even noticed it before.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to look away from all of World Showcase.
And the nerd in me, the first thing I do is come home and look at Google Earth to find out what's back there.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize that the waterways that are World Showcase Lagoon are the exact same waterways that go all the way through the Epcot Resorts, the Hollywood Studios. Hmm. That's where the friendship boats go all the time, right? All the way from studios to the back door of Epcot.
Yeah.
And they're all parked back there around the corner. That's where they put the friendship boats.
So let me ask you this. One of the other things I've heard of, and just because we're talking about the barges, have either of you stayed for the burn-off?
I have seen the burn-off, and I know that they don't do it as much as they used to.
Yeah, I think you're right. Jennifer, you know what we're talking about?
I do. We've not been there for it. We're usually lucky to stay as long as to see the
so
show.
You're talking about the Inferno Barge.
Right, the Inferno Barge.
The Inferno Barge is one that comes up.
So at the end of the night, every night after Illuminations is over, they burn off any leftover propane. And they completely empty out the tanks. So it's just a big fireball, basically.
So in the Inferno Barge, which does most of this chaos scene, is fueled by liquid propane. Fireballs go as high as 60 feet in the air, which is pretty cool, from the surface of the lagoon. There are 37 nozzles that shoot this stuff out, and they use 400 gallons of propane every night.
It's really cool the way they do it, because it's held in tanks that are underneath the water. So the propane tanks, I guess, probably actually even help the barge float.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so it's they're underneath the water so that they don't overheat.
That's crazy.
Now, in addition to the Inferno Barge, which does this chaos scene, there are also multiple fireworks barges, which are used for the entire show. And an interesting thing here, not just on the barges, but also on the perimeter fireworks that are all around the lagoon, they actually use compressed air to shoot the rockets or the fireworks into the air to give them precise explosions with the music.
Well, I think
that's how it can be so close.
Yeah, I think that's with all of the fireworks shows in Disney. I think Wishes does the same thing.
It that's what allows them to time it, right? You're
they
not lighting
like
fuse, you're shooting
there,
it and it blows up. Yeah.
And there's computer chips or something that time the explosions, almost.
There are 750 individual effects for Illuminations every night.
Good God.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
34 locations around the lagoon, 2,100 visible effects. It's just incredible.
Hmm.
That is crazy.
So, okay, we get through the first act of chaos and all the fire and everything happens, and then it kind of slows down a little bit. The music changes, and the globe, which has been sitting next to the American Adventure, sort of starts to come out towards the center of the lagoon. Now, there's some interesting things that happen when this goes about. Now, depending on who you read, Act 2 is Life and Adventure, or it's the Triumph of Life. Either way, what happens is as the globe slowly rolls out, it sort of cools off. It goes from white hot to red hot to blue as it turns into the Earth. So it's a subtle little thing, which is sort of cool if you look at it. It changes colors as it gets to the center and becomes the planet, which I think is really cool.
That's very cool.
The barge itself, 350,000 pounds. It's, at the time, the largest and the only spherical video display of any kind. 28 feet high from top to bottom. And the best place to see it is exactly what you were talking about before, when they roll it out and the drawbridge is up. That's the closest you can get to this thing. And you really sort to get, you get to go, wow, this is pretty cool.
It's incredible how big it is, too. You don't really, when it's out in the middle of the lagoon and you're watching Illuminations, you don't really get a sense of how big that thing really is.
Yep.
when you're there by the drawbridge and it's passing through, you're like, oh my goodness, it's serious.
Then as the globe now anchors itself in the center of the lagoon, now it's a blue, now it's spinning, this is when you start to see some things happen on the globe. And this is the part where most people go, what's going on? I can't see. What's happening? And some of them start to leave thinking it's over. But this is where you start to see animals appear on the globe. And you start to see people appear on the globe. And you see landmarks. And then after the landmarks, you start to see countries develop. You know, some of this is original footage that Disney had taken. Some of this is stock footage from National Geographic. If you go and search Google, you'll find all kind of details behind the different scenes. But as the different countries appear, that's when the countries start to light up around World Showcase in correspondence with what's on the globe, which is really cool.
Well, you know, that's a part that a lot of people miss. If you're in the countries facing out, you may not realize what's going on behind you.
Exactly.
And it's a very cool part of the show.
So those interior buildings start to light up, and there's some laser lights and spotlights that start to happen, and then some fireworks in the center. But there's a little bit of time involved in that Earth globe moving out to the middle. Here's another little interesting fact. When the globe is sitting next to the American Adventure, it's actually lit up brown. So it's
really
on the whole time. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is cool. I would have never guessed that.
Yep.
What's the purpose of that, do you know?
I'm not exactly sure if it means that they know it's lit up or not, but it's not off. You think it turns on, but it actually goes from brown to the different colors. So this is interesting here. If you're into technology, knowing when this was introduced in 1999, the video display is run by a Pentium 2 server running Windows 95/98 and a single serial ATA connection.
Is that still true?
I don't know if that's still true, because I know they redid the globe a few years back and they updated the LEDs, but that's how it was originally. But is that crazy to think about that?
That is, yes. Yeah.
So then the countries start to illuminate, the globe's out there in its beauty, the Earth spinning around, and that's when we transition into the third act of the play, which is hope for the future. According to Disney, this is when comets of light race to the sky before the globe blossoms like a lotus flower, revealing a torch ablaze with our dreams. So here's another interesting part. Torches that were all around World Showcase, there's 19 of them. So the torch inside the globe represents the 20th century.
Huh.
The 20th torch.
I would have not known that.
How about that? That's pretty cool. And the fireworks come out of that torch when it opens, and it's supposed to be blooming like a flower, as I meant. And that's when the song We Go On starts to play. And I think we all know that song and immediately think Illuminations when we're here. We Go On.
With the stillness of the night, there comes a time to understand, to reach out and touch tomorrow, take the future in our hand. We can see a new horizon built on all that we have done.
you got, is that your favorite song? Or do you like Promise better?
Wow, that's hard to pick. I like the soundtrack, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
I think if I had to pick, I like We Go On better.
I mean, they're both...
I like them back to back.
They're both sung by Kelly Coffey, I think.
I think so, yeah.
I like Promise better. I don't know why that song just always sticks in my head. Not that I dislike We Go On, but...
You know what, Jimmy? Sometimes I can't tell the difference between We Go On and Promise. So let's play a little Promise.
Every day becomes a legacy. Every sunset leads to morning with the promise of opportunity. We can reach for the stars. We
But we know these are songs that I can't listen to the music without knowing exactly where the fireworks are when I listen to it.
Right.
Well, you know, I think We Go On is more of a part of the show. And, you know, Promise is more of exit, you right? Exit music.
Yeah,
that's what I would say, yeah.
So, now as you get into it, right, We Go On plays, the torches are all relit. So at that point, once the 20th one lights inside, all of them light up. Here's an interesting little fact, too. At the very end when there's, and I can hear the music, when the white fireworks go off and it lights everything up. There's over 1,000 white fireworks that are part of that little routine that goes off every night, which is pretty cool.
You know, another interesting fact is that Morocco does not light up.
Yeah?
It does not light up. Every other country lights up, but if you're standing by Morocco, you will not see it light up.
I was talking to my husband about that when we were there last time, and he pointed out that Norway also doesn't light up, which I hear Morocco all the time, and sure enough, he was right, that Norway doesn't light up either.
Well, that's interesting. So, I wonder why.
I know, because I hear about Morocco in different, you know, communities and posts. And
then, of course, as the show finishes, that's where you hear the good old ladies and gentlemen, the entire Epcot family, thanks you for having been with us for Illuminations, Reflections of Earth.
All of us at Epcot hope you have enjoyed Reflections of Earth.
Basically, you're, all right, park's closed, time to get out, I guess.
Right, pretty much. But, then you hear Promise.
Then you hear Promise, and you hear a nice soundtrack there at the end as well. So we go on, and it just seems to go on and go on. And that used to be when that soundtrack finished, that's when they would do the burn-off, which they've learned to put less fuel inside the propane tanks and not need to burn it off at the end of the night. But that was something really cool to hang out and see.
They've gotten it closer to exactly what they need, I guess.
Yeah, that has to be it.
Very, very
cool. Interesting.
So there are some lasers involved as well. We talked about the fireworks. There's some lasers. You know, some people notice them, some don't. The lasers come out of the American Adventure, Canada, and Mexico. There are also some mirrors around that reflect those, so it looks like it's bouncing across lots of different places. Disney actually needs to notify the FAA before they start illuminations to let them know the lasers are going to be going, which is interesting. Yeah. There is. Do you know where the control room is for illuminations?
No. I'm going to make a guess and say, and the tower in Japan.
That's a great guess, but
that is a good guess.
It's the very top of Mexico.
Huh.
That's where, well, it's where one of the lasers start, but that's where the control booth is. That's where they're making sure nobody's climbed over the fences. It's also where there's an emergency stop button and they can stop everything.
That's how I got caught.
Yeah.
Help me climb over the fence.
That happened for the 30th. I don't know if you remember that, Jen, from being there, but
no.
It was delayed a little bit. Do you remember it was delayed? It didn't
quite
start on time? It's because there were people on the wrong side of the fence around the world, around the promenade.
I don't think
No, I did not know that.
I don't think any Disney nerds would put put themselves in that situation.
I would maybe sneak into River Country to check that out, but that's a different show.
That's a whole different show. So, at the end of the day, Illuminations is cool when you understand the story.
It's cool if you don't understand.
This isn't just some random fireworks.
I think it's cool if you don't know the story. I think it's really, really cool. I think it just one-ups it to know the story. Does that make sense?
It does.
And I loved it. I loved it without knowing the story. I still loved it. But when you told me the story, it made me appreciate it even that much more. And I haven't, you know what? Since you've told me the story, I hadn't had a chance to see it.
So
because that was our last night there.
So anyone out there listening, I hope, number one, that you go, wow, I didn't realize that's what happened or what that meant or that the Earth is actually changing as it glides out here. I just thought it was something that floated out into the middle. I also look at the fact that this show's been running for 15 years. That's a long time. What do you think happens here? There's some rumors out there now that the gentleman in charge of World of Color has been working with the Epcot folks lately.
Oh, God.
Well, that could be good. World of Color is incredible.
I'm not saying it's a bad incredible. Thing. It worries me a little bit.
But, Sam, don't you think that World of Color, because I know you've seen it too, we talked about this on an earlier show as well, don't you think it sounds very similar to the things we're hearing about Rivers of Light or the new nighttime show,
Animal Kingdom. Yes,
I don't know that we need two World of Color shows if one of them is going to take Illuminations away. Interesting rumor.
And I look at it, though, and I know for World of Color in Disney's California Adventure, they had to completely drain the lagoon to put all of the lighting effects and the water cannons and everything in. I don't know how they could do that, being as how big that waterway is that you're dealing with. That goes all the way over to Hollywood Studios.
Well, and the friendship boats are functional. I mean, they're used to get people from resorts places.
Yes, transportation.
Yes.
Hmm. I use them all the time when I stay in that resort area. That's my favorite.
I don't know.
That's my retirement job, I think.
Driving the boat?
Captain on the friendship
boat. I like it.
Captain on a friendship boat?
I think either that or, like, I want to drive the monorail. I don't really care. Once I retire, I really don't care. I'll sweep. Just give me a dustpan. And
I think we all have those types of dreams.
I've got a picture, actually, from probably 2 or 3 years ago. We had stepped outside of one of the stores. There was a dustpan and a broom, and I grabbed it and started sweeping up.
So that's awesome.
There's a picture. Yeah. So there's a picture.
Custodian staff.
Yeah, there's a
Nothing
picture.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sweeping up. Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
You're right. I do just about anything when I'm tired. I'm not picky.
Yeah, I don't care. They say, you know what?
I want to sit in the control room and be next to the emergency stop button.
Well,
how about that?
No, come on.
Have you seen them drawing with the water on the
that's
streets?
Incredible.
That's cool.
I think those people are not just the average.
Oh, no, I bet not. Because I couldn't.
How far off topic can we get?
Pretty far.
I have a question for you.
I have a question for you that will bring us back with both job-related questions and Illumination. Sam, in your research, did you come across, I have heard, and I don't know if it's true because it sounds crazy. Is there a driver sitting in the globe during the show?
My research shows that there was. Whether
can
there,
you imagine?
Is,
that I'm does not. Sure. That does not sound like a fun job.
Well, somebody's got to drive the globe. How does they? It's got to. I mean, it makes it.
It's got to get out there. So basically, they drive the globe, they anchor it, and they go down inside a little bunker that's part of the barge.
I think that's
and
true.
Spend the show in there.
See, I'm sitting here picturing someone in like a chair while all this goes off around them. I'm like,
no. I think they're like almost.
That does not sound like a good job.
All right. Here's the bottom line. Hopefully, you guys listening will be in Epcot Center on October the 3rd. That's when we're going to do our Illuminations meet. I may tell the story.
Sam,
who knows?
You'll definitely tell the story.
So my kids walk away from me when we're ready to watch Illuminations. My kids walk away because regardless, there's always someone nearby, and I'll say, "Have you heard the story?" And they'll say, "No." And I start to tell them, and they're absolutely mesmerized by the story when you tell it while it's happening.
Your kids have not, you know, we're at an age where we really don't get embarrassed. Your kids are still at that age where they're trying to be cool. So one day they'll appreciate you.
Did you just call me not cool?
I'm not. I'm so.
I think maybe.
I am. I'm just saying you're a nerd, a Disney nerd, but a nerd.
All right, I'll take it. October 3rd, Illuminations. October 4th, Scavenger Hunts. Hopefully, we'll see you guys there.
October 3rd, on the bridge, going to Mexico. At 9:30 for a 10 o'clock Illumination show.
Near where it will be is near the taco stand that it will be there for Food and Wine Festival.
And we will have, some of us will definitely have Disney Nerd shirts on or something. You'll know we're there, so just be looking for us. And then October 4th at 10:30 a.m. on the north side of the fountain. Somewhere in that area. There's going to be an area there with some the photo pass photographers will be there taking pictures of the fountain and Spaceship Earth in the background. So it'll be in between the fountain. There'll be a cranberry bog right there on that walkway to World Showcase. So
not far from Starbucks. And Jimmy, maybe a morning Beverly. What do you think?
Definitely could.
I don't know. Beverly and coffee. I don't know, man.
Well, you know what? One of you guys have to do the Beverly Challenge.
I don't know.
Also, in addition to the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page, we also have the Disney Nerds group. So if you just search Disney Nerds in all caps, it'll bring up the group. It's a closed group with about 10,300.
Which is incredible, Jimmy.
Almost 10,000.
Not long ago, I was congratulating you on 3,000 members.
Today. Yeah.
Now we're 10,000. That's
this
awesome.
This group is getting, to be honest with you, with the more members we get, the more interactive it gets, the more people you get participating. So it's been a lot of fun. So go join the group. Like us. Like the podcast page. Follow us on Twitter at the Disney Nerds.
So with that, I am Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, at Sam's Disney Diary on Twitter.
This is Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel.
And Jennifer from ForTheLoveOfDisney.com.
Congaloosh!
See ya!
Quaharini!
With all that talk of Illuminations, I can't leave you without a complete listen to Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Good evening, and welcome. We've gathered here tonight, around the fire, as people of all lands have gathered for thousands and thousands of years before us, to share the light and to share a story. An amazing story, as old as time itself, but still being written. And though each of us has our own individual stories to tell, a true adventure emerges when we bring them all together as one. I hope you enjoy our story tonight, Reflections of Earth. Enjoyed Reflections of Earth.
All we have to do is open. All of us at Epcot have enjoyed hosting you at World Showcase Lagoon. Thank you, and may all your dreams come true.